It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In January, the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs unveiled an $80 million plan to renovate, modernize, and shrink the state historical building in Des Moines that houses the State History Museum. I've talked with representatives of the Department of Cultural Affairs about that plan. I've talked with Iowa historians about their concerns about the plan and the future of the State Historical Society and Museum, which they say has been underfunded and understaffed for many years. Now, Democratic State Senator Matt McCoy has put forward a new plan that he feels would be a compromise. And Senator McCoy is here with me today. Hello, Senator.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And let's talk about your proposal. Describe it for me.
So essentially what I've proposed is that we tackle the problem with the historical building and we appropriate about $40 million to that building, which would replace the roof of the building, invest in a new HVAC system, create what's called a moisture membrane around the building, and then put the additional dollars into bringing the building's furnishings and fixtures up to speed. In addition, I propose that we tackle the Wallace Building, which is about a $57 million redo that is required immediately on that building. The elevators are failing in that building. The HVAC system is failing. And it has some serious moisture issues with respect to interior mold and other problems that we're continually battling over there. And then finally, that we move the state car fleet, which is currently on the west side of the Capitol, across the East 14th area into an industrial park where it really belongs. The total package is $110 million, and we would bond for that package, and that package over 22 years at about 2.25% interest would cost the state about $6 million a year, which we would use gaming revenue to repay that $110 million over 22 years. And so it's a way of bringing the entire capital complex up to speed and making the strategic investments that we need to make, and quite frankly, hedging against construction inflation.
Now, I understand that you've been wrangling about the Wallace Building for some time. There have been a lot of debates, a lot of concerns, and different plans put forward to bring this building up to code. Why do you want to link these two plans?
Well, quite frankly, I could not justify, and my colleagues could not justify, investing $40 million into redoing a historical museum when more than 650 people that are doing the essential functions of state government are essentially operating in a sick building that is in serious need of repair. So I said to the governor's office, look, here's an opportunity to move forward on both plans and to do it in a way that's responsible and cost-effective and also meets the needs of the future going forward, because, again, we have the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Natural Resources operating every day in that Wallace Building, more than 650 employees every day, and they're doing some pretty important functions, and quite frankly, that building is an embarrassment to anybody that goes in there.
Now, I can imagine that there are some people who feel like putting these two buildings together in a proposal makes it less likely that either one of them will get taken care of. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would just say this, that if people think that it's an easy sell to sell restoration of a historical museum prior to taking care of the essential functions of state government, then they haven't met my colleagues, because my colleagues feel very strongly that we have to deal with the Wallace Building first. And so what I was continually told by my caucus and the folks that I serve with is, look, we've got to take care of the major functions of state government before we do this other building. A lot of people saw the opportunity to tie these two buildings together as a way of addressing both issues in a, you know, in a strategic and smart way. We have seen over the past 5 years, we've seen an increase of construction cost at a rate of about 4%. We would be borrowing money at 2% to take care of both of these buildings. So in my opinion, for each year that we've delayed, it's cost us an additional 4 to 5% to not move forward with both of these projects at once. So I think the important thing to remember is the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund is funded with gaming dollars. So it's not a general fund budget. It is not a taxpayer subsidized general budget of the state of Iowa. And so we know that there's capacity within that budget to handle that $6.5 million annually in debt repayment for the next 22 years. And we know that the savings that we would generate by avoiding the construction inflation would easily make up for the interest that we would pay over that time period.
Now, Governor Branstad's been very clear in his opposition to bonding proposals in the past. He doesn't like to borrow money. What are your indications about the possibilities for this plan moving forward?
Well, everybody borrows money. The governor is not an exception to that. He consistently has supported the use of bonding at the region institutions. Each year we bond over there for new buildings. We're putting up dormitories every year on the Regent campuses, and we're bonding for those. We've bonded for the new prison system that we just built in Fort Madison. So, I mean, the fact is that Iowa is one of the lowest use of bonding states in the nation. I think we're 48th or 9th behind North Dakota. So we're a pay-as-you-go state primarily. But when you get into $50, $60, $100 million projects, you really need to have a stable source of revenue. And we do have a stable source of revenue in our gaming dollars. And again, it is not tied to taxpayers. I think that's been the governor's objection in the past to bonding, is he does not want to see general fund receipts used to repay bonds, but he has been supportive of bonding concepts within the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund for things like dormitories and buildings on ISU campus or Iowa University of Iowa campus or Northern Iowa's campus. And so I think from that perspective, he understands that you do have to borrow for critical infrastructure.
Do you feel that $40 million, I mean, we've talked on this program in the past about the years of troubles that the State Historical Museum, the State Historical Building in Des Moines has suffered from. Do you feel like $40 million will actually be able to bring that building into a state where it is reliable and it doesn't leak and all of the systems function?
Absolutely. I have a lot of confidence in the Department of Administrative Services to evaluate the soundness of a building. And what they told me is that to go in and replace the HVAC system to create a moisture barrier and to repair the roof, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 million. Then to reface, you know, the front of the building and in essence create a modern entrance and then put some additional dollars into displays and redo the atrium level, which is currently a wood floor that's warped, that it's going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of an additional $10 million. And then just to add to it, to add these centered display cases, which would be movable display cases, and you can make them smaller or larger based upon whatever you're trying to exhibit, but they're essentially glass cases. That's about a $5 million process. And then the digitalization of the entire organization and taking all the newspapers that the state maintains across the country, I mean across the state of Iowa and all over the country, and converting those to microfilm, and then to also digitize all of the governor's papers and things, we're looking at about another additional $5 million on the digitization. And by my math, that brings us up to about 30 to 35 million. And then I have an overage account of about $5 million, depending on where we come in on the true cost of it. I think we would end up with a world-class museum that would make all Iowans proud. Currently, the existing facility is inadequate. We know the structural failures of the building, and we know how that potentially impacts the display of the artifacts, as well as the potentially damaging valuable artifacts. So we have to address the problem, and this is a way of addressing the problem. And I still think doing things the Iowa way, we're not spending $65 million, we're spending about $40 million. We're not tearing down part of the building, we're working with the existing footprint, and we're trying to maintain and manage, I think, a pretty important collection to Iowans. And so my hope is that the governor will see the wisdom in this and get behind this as a way of moving forward. Because under our current scenario, we do not have enough money within the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund to pay for this all in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. And there's no way we're going to be able to put together the kind of money that this building is going to require within our existing annual budget appropriation.
Now, one of the criticisms that has been targeted in the past is when this building was built and opened in 1987 or 88, there wasn't enough money budgeted for upkeep of the building. Marion Ankeny called in to ask you, is there a plan included in your plan to provide for maintenance of the building in the future?
Yes. And so the Department of Administrative Services has a new mechanism that each department, in essence, kind of pays what's considered a rent or a utility payment to the state. And that utility payment to the state then is used to maintain that facility. When this building was built, that system was not in place. We have since put that system in place to the Department of Administrative Services. And while some of us think that utility payment is too low, it is still a system that will help maintain things. And obviously, if we go in and we do things right and we do them well and we manage the project, and I'm not sure I would have ever accepted in 1987, I would have ever accepted that building back from the builder with the problems that building had day one. The fact is that if we manage this process well, we'll have enough money to maintain the building going forward.
Now, we have just a couple of minutes left, and yesterday the Associated Press published an article saying that the Department of Cultural Affairs used History Museum renovation money for salaries. In the article, they say that payroll documents obtained by the Associated Press show the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs diverted more than $176,000 from Special Infrastructure Fund over 2 years to pay a portion of Director Mary County's salary and the salaries of two senior staff members. And we did invite Director Mary County on the program today, and initially she agreed to come, and then we were told that a conflict arose. But they did provide us with this statement. For the last several years, the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs has been appropriated dollars by the governor and the Iowa legislature to begin planning for a potential renovation of the state historical building and to address immediate infrastructure repairs of the building. Given certain staff dedicated time to the planning process, a portion of their salaries used these appropriated funds, which was allowable and approved by the legislature. And in the article, you were also quoted as having some concerns about this. So what are your concerns?
Well, generally, when we appropriate dollars, it's for professional planning services for the purposes of paying architects and creating schematics and renderings and actually developing a flow chart and system on how you would manage the artifacts and how you would move the artifacts. They used dollars that were part of that planning process that I considered vertical infrastructure funds to support salaries. And while technically it appears that it is a legal mechanism that they utilized, it to me, in the past, we have not used vertical infrastructure dollars to support the planning process for staff salaries. And so in the future, when we appropriate money, we're going to really spell out that money is for the procurement of professional services and not for the support of staff salaries. Now, I don't think that should have an impact on whether we invest in this building or not with respect to the long-term planning and process that we need to go through as a legislature to repair this building. I just was not comfortable with the use of vertical infrastructure, Rebuild Iowa money being used to support staff salaries.
So you've put forward your $110 million plan that includes the Wallace Building, the State Historical Building, and also moving the fleet in Des Moines. What do you consider to be the timeline on this plan?
Well, according to the Department of Administrative Services, they have the capacity within their budget and within their staff to manage all three projects simultaneously. And I would like to see that project begin shortly after the National Governors Association. So the governor is going to be bringing in folks from all over the nation and showcasing our Capitol complex and our Capitol building. And it's a beautiful building and a great place to hold the National Governors
Senator
Association.
Senator Matt McCoy, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.